At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
American Giant makes great clothing, T-shirts, jeans, and more right here in the U.S., creating jobs in towns and cities across the country. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Welcome to Bear and Balance. I'm Jeff Berkus. On the other side of the screen, Lester A. Wiltfong Jr. Lester, the Chicago Bears, 2-0 in the preseason, are back. They have a in-person live practice against another football team tomorrow. We're getting closer to the third preseason game. Things are starting to heat up, get real. Are you ready for that practice tomorrow?
I am. I'll be there unless it's canceled. There's some bad weather supposed to be in the area, and we already got the email. It already came out saying that, you know, be prepared. There's a chance they may have to cancel the practice. So apparently the franchise is monitoring the situation, and they're going to email fans at some point. The nice thing is it's a 1 o'clock practice. So the fans that are getting up extra early to get there, you know, they should have a little bit of a notice. And I had no idea it was 1 o'clock either. I was talking to Sam Householder, who's also be there. He mentioned, he was asking me for some tips, what time to get there. I told him, oh, like 7 a.m. And he's like, this is a 1 o'clock practice. I'm like, I'm glad you told me, because I would have definitely been there.
I was going to mention it to you tonight.
Yeah.
So I was going to mention that it was a little later. Yeah. This is the one I really wanted to go to. I did not know that it was a noon practice either, or a 1 o'clock practice, you know, gates open at noon. I didn't know that either when I was making my plans. I think that would have been interesting and maybe more difficult for me to make it if that was the case. But yeah. All right, we have our guest that is here, and we're gonna bring him in. And so he was at camp today. So we are gonna talk about camp. I'm gonna switch over our banner. Oh. We're gonna welcome Ryan into the show. And Ryan, I have not talked to you in person yet. How do you say your last name?
Drosty. Yeah.
Drosty. You mentioned the E. Okay. Now, yeah. Very important question. Have you ever had a Zima?
Let's see. Possibly in high school. I think the statute of limitations has passed at this point, so
I don't think anybody's going to bust you. Your mom might be disappointed. I don't know, but you know, she may be disappointed that you were drinking in high school. Anyway, we're talking before we started the show. Lester was a big fan of Zima, but has not made the transition up to White Claw, and we were talking about the important differences between the two, and so that was before you got here. So
my wife and I have gone through pretty much all of the seltzers at this point. Yeah, we like the High Noons, personally. High Noon. Yeah.
Okay. There you go, Lester. High Noon, if you ever want an alcoholic seltzer.
I'll have to try that one out one day. Yeah.
All right, Ryan. So, like, big picture. So you're new to the Windy City Gridiron team. We're happy to have you on the show here to talk a little bit. You took your family to the practice today. Get a big picture. Like, what was your sense of how that went? Had you been before? How did the kids take it? Like, you know, kind of walk me through kind of the overall big picture of enjoying the practice.
Well, first of all, I got to thank Lester, because he made it possible, because I was not able to get tickets when they went on sale. So actually, he hooked me up. Honest,
these were Jeff's tickets. We always get them together, and then we just kind of spread them amongst the team. So,
okay. Nice. Well, yeah, you know what? I have never been to Bears training camp. Always wanted to go, you know, selfishly. I know it wasn't as good of a location, but like, I kind of wish it was still in Platteville, because it's only a 2-hour drive for me. Sure. As you know, Jeff, fellow UNI Panther here, myself still live in the area. So a little bit further drive. You know, we go to Chicago a couple times a year though, always. And so the kids were definitely down for going, and drove there last night, stayed over, got up real early this morning, stayed about as close to the Hawthorne Mall as possible to make that morning drive over to the shuttle spot, you know, very doable. And then we got on the first round of shuttles, got there very early, and I was a a little surprised because I had looked at the forecast and it was supposed to be pretty cool this morning, I thought, but it was very warm when we got there. I mean, it was like, it was definitely in the 80s this morning and in full sun, you know, so it feels hotter. So, I mean, my girls, they are 8 and 5 and they were troopers, but I think the sun started to wear on them by the end of practice a little bit. And they were more excited at that point just to try to get some autographs. Yeah, I mean, we did, you know, all the pregame stuff. Lester told me, make sure to get in the Walter Payton Center, took the girls in there. They ran the obstacle course a few times. They had a lot of fun with that.
Nice.
The negative was, cause you know, I wanted to take in all of the, you know, the family stuff, of course, but then I didn't really get a great spot. I put some pictures and video clips out on my Twitter account today, so you can kind of see where I was. I was kind of near the end zone off in the corner a little bit. I did get a spot like right on the ropes. But it was a little bit, sorry, cell phone. It was really, it's difficult to see everything from where I was because like they ran the 2-minute drill on the opposite end of the field. So it made it a little bit difficult. We tried, like we went up in the stands a couple of times and there was nowhere to sit. You got to, as you guys know, get there pretty early for those seats. But yeah, I mean, man, we had a blast, never been, you know, so I thank my daughters for being along for the first ride for me too. And, you know, they said they would love to go back next year. So we'll probably make it a yearly thing. But I mean, the Bears, they just run a tight ship. It was so well organized. You know, the staff is extremely friendly. We did the raffle to, you know, to possibly have the girls be able to carry the pads off the field or do the water drink thing. And I didn't go for that. My wife went in the Walter Payton Center for the drawing during practice. Apparently we were one number off from being the pad carrier. One number off. Insane. But so we didn't get that, but we got a few autographs.
I don't remember them doing that, JB. You ever, I don't recall. I mean, I don't bring the kids ever, but.
Well, we would always take off early, right? Like, you know, we were like, when we're at the practice, we understand the rhythm and the cadence of the practice. And when it's getting close to being done, Lester and I are taking off. We're trying to get one of those buses so that we can get back. We can go have lunch and, you know, get about our day, come back, do a podcast. A lot of people are sticking around waiting for the autograph lines and things like that. Lester and I are doing that. So like that's kind of my question is, you know, from a writer or a podcaster or content creator perspective, you know, Lester and I have a different, like we're there early, we're getting a good seat because we want to make sure we got a good view. You know, we're checking out where we think the majority of practice is going to be based on some signals, you know, of what's out there. You know, we've got our water, we're not leaving. Like we have our spot, we're there, we've claimed it and we're there for the practice. And then we're getting out of there because we're not interested in autograph. We're not autograph hounds or anything, mm-hmm. But from someone taking the kids, like we don't necessarily get that perspective. And so I'm curious, like as you know, a dad taking your kids and maybe from the kids' perspective, like how family friendly is it? What did you do that isn't just like pure football stuff like Lester and I are going for? And you know, is that something that's interesting and you'd recommend to people that are listening that maybe have never been and might want to take their kids to do that?
I would 100% recommend going with your kids. I would say there's kind of an age gap though. Like, so for example, I have a 3-year-old, we did not take her. She stayed with the grandparents and there were some people there who had small, like little ones. I can't imagine my 3-year-old making it through though. That would have been brutal. I think, you know, my youngest, she's 5, almost 6. I'd say that's about minimum age. Maybe you take a 4-year-old because it just gets so hot. And, you know, for them, you can do the activities for a while, but then there's just not really anything for them to do. They have so much stuff set up when you walk in. So we did, you know, like the pictures with Staley. They did the face painting, are able to do that. You know, we went to the merch shop, a lot of like photo op type stuff. They've got, you know, like mock kind of lockers set up that you can go check out. We did that, like I mentioned, Walter Payton Center. A lot of like samplings of food and things like that, plus the food trucks where you can actually buy things. So they were, I mean, I would say that first hour to hour and a half we were there, they were pretty entertained and it was extremely family friendly. And then when it comes to I personally don't really care about autographs too much. I'm the only Bears autograph I have is that football right over my shoulder there. That's a Dick Butkus autograph that I got when I was like 10. A family friend got it signed for me. He lived in Chicago at the time, brought it back to Iowa and gave it to me. That's the only Bears autograph I have, which is, I mean, look, that's a pretty good one to have, but I'm not an autograph hound at all, but I knew my girls would like it. So I bought them, you know, the autograph football and stuff. And then it's just kind of like at the end of practice, you just hang around and hopefully you get lucky and some guys come over to you. And I mean, the best autographs they got, no one that's like a super big star at this point in time, but ironically, two of the people who on last night's Hard Knocks were featured heavily came over and signed. And so they got Austin Booker, which I was the most hyped about. I'm like, you got to get him. I saw him like down the rope line a little bit. So I walked him over there. It was mostly adults there. And I told my girls, I'm like, he would probably love to sign for you instead of all these adults. We should go over there. And he immediately went to them.
Yeah.
Like immediately. And then on the way out, we were kind of walking past the goalpost and Ian Wheeler was sitting there signing. And so then we went up and we got him, and my daughter's got something signed. And then the Bears security that was standing there looked at me and like, you don't want anything? I was like, no, it's just for them. So, but they were, I mean, super accommodating for autographs. Of course they really wanted Caleb, but Caleb really only signed, it looked like, for the kids that won the drawing for the pad deal. And then they had like that separate area over there, kind of where the family sits. And I don't know, like some kind of VIP people. He went over to that area and he signed for a very small group of kids. And that was it. So, they were really excited with the autographs they got, though. And, you know, they want to go back next year and add to that autograph football kind of thing. So, yeah, if you're on the fence about going and you have kids, like elementary age kids, definitely take them because they make it very family friendly. The shuttles run really quickly. You don't have to wait around too long at all. So yeah, I mean, I think all kids would have a good time. Pretty much, like I said, 4 or 5 year old and up.
It's like a great way to get a bear fan for life, right? You get them out there young, have them see what's going on. You know, they see the pop and they see all the excitement. They get some autograph. Austin Booker, that's a cool one because, you know, 2.5 sacks last game. This could be the guy, you know, in Chicago here for the next few years. So that's a cool one. Ian Wheeler going to be a doctor at some point. That's kind of neat to have there too. So that's those are a couple good ones.
He was talking to a lot of the people that were, you know, about his schooling and going to Howard and all of that. Like that was a big conversation piece when we walked up and he was talking to all these people about what they were majoring in college because there were some older people that were getting his autograph. And so, yeah, heard all about that. Psychology, I think he said he majored in. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Good stuff. All right. Well, let's talk a little football. And obviously you saw practice, but you also were you know, parenting. So yeah, understand if you maybe weren't locked into the field quite like you would be if you weren't doing that. But I'm curious, like, let's just start off. I buried it last time just because we always start off with Caleb Williams, but I'm back to starting it with Caleb Williams. So, you know, what stuck out to you today, Caleb Williams? Obviously the first time that you've seen him in person, you've seen a couple, you know, I guess we've seen one preseason game, you know, I think he had 7 throws. But, you know, what did you pick up in practice from Caleb? What has impressed you? What do you think maybe you're looking for in terms of improvement? Anything like that, that your early impressions mm-hmm. of Caleb Williams?
Yeah. So from what I saw, I mean, first of all, just the personality, even from where I was at, was coming through. You could hear his laugh across the field, joking around with the guys. You know, you could see almost just how the guys gravitate towards him. Just the leadership elements was evident just from where I was watching from. So I did notice that right away. I've been reading a lot of the practice reports, written a couple for the website in the last couple of weeks too. And I know, you know, the turnovers has been an issue a little bit in practice, throwing interceptions. And I haven't read really any reports of today's other than what I saw. But I didn't see him throw any picks today. I don't know if he actually had any or not. I did not see any, though. Did you guys know? I don't know if you saw
I think it might have been clean. I know I did the recap. You know, I just pulled a bunch of stuff off Twitter, obviously. And
yeah,
I'm trying to think back. And he might have had a clean day. I mean, it wasn't obviously the defense still had their moments, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, that's, you know, they get theirs. But yeah, I mean, as far as, like you said, yeah, the last few practices, there's a multiple. I don't remember them having any today. It's possible, though.
Yeah. And then also, it seemed like, you know, one of the themes throughout camp has been false starts on the offensive line, penalties on the offensive line, and that was pretty clean today. I didn't see any of the any false starts happen at all. In fact, they had some offsides that they drew on the defense that I noticed. Like there was one play where Caleb drew him offsides. So they had the free play, and I believe he threw it to Everett down the middle, and the pass was broken up. But it might have been Kyler Gordon that broke that up. I can't remember. I didn't have my notes on me, but I noticed that he drew some offsides. They didn't have any offensive line penalty, so it seems like they're kind of meshing better at this point in camp. You know, Nate Davis was out there. He was one of the first guys I noticed as I started looking around the field. I tweeted that out, that he was out there in pads, because we all know everything that's been happening there. And I did see that Flus commented on the injury that he's been dealing with, but you know, he was out there the whole time. No Bates, but you know, overall it seemed like the offensive line was gelling pretty well today. And you know, Caleb seemed pretty accurate. He had a nice pass to Keenan Allen, I saw in practice today along the sideline. In the 2 minutes, they had some chances. Like they moved the ball down the field. He had a good pass to Kmet, a little like dump off pass to Swift that I had a video of up on Twitter. And then they took some shots into the end zone, and they weren't able to get a touchdown, but they got down there. They had some opportunities. And you know, overall, it seemed like he commanded the offense pretty well in the 2 minute drill at the end.
You know, Lester, I don't know about you, but he just talked about how the security guard was nice to him, wanted to know if he needed an autograph. He just talked about tweeting out a video. Like, is the security different at Hallis Hall than it was a couple years ago? Where they almost kicked us out?
No. You have to be very careful. Yeah. Look, I was doing this for the people. All right, I'm a man
sure,
of the
no, I get
I was
it.
Doing
I...
this for you guys. But you know, like I'm on the rope and my kids are coming and going, you know, so they would be in front of me when they were there. But other times, you know, I'm like, I am taking pictures, and they kept walking back and forth saying, oh, only pictures, only pictures, only pictures. And there was one time where the security guard came up to me and he said, hey, only pictures. And I actually wasn't taking a video that time. I was just zooming. It was actually after the DJ injury. And I was trying to find him on the field to get a picture of him that he had come back. And I found him. And then I was like zooming in, trying to get a picture of him. And he came up and thought I was doing a video, which I wasn't. But the times that I did videos, they did not see me doing it. So, hey, it worked.
It wasn't a big guy that had a resemblance to Goldberg with a shaved head, was it?
I don't believe so. I mean, I would recognize him. You see the wrestling.
That's Lester's arch nemesis.
Yeah.
I mean, no, it is what it is at the Bears camp. I mean, it's a fun time, and it's you know, those videos, you know, they're few and far between, but it's you know, all content creators enjoy when people throw those up on Twitter, because you know, those get picked up nationally. I mean, the national media, they gravitate towards those, because you know, that's what they get. I mean, there was one the other day with the nice pass from Caleb to Rome. I mean, this kid's got like, you know, a million views, because it got picked up nationally, and everyone's sharing that video because, you know, the Bears aren't.
Yeah. No, yeah. And ironically, when that play happened with DJ where he got injured, I only filmed a handful, just a few. And I was actually filming that play that he got injured on. And I, right when he was down, I was like, my first thought was, oh no. And my second thought for the website was like, oh my God, I got that on video. And then I looked down at the video, and I still tweeted it out, but you know, I was trying to be kind of secret. It was one of the first videos I took, and I totally missed the injury. Like I was on him and Jalen right until like the pass came. And then I was watching them, and I didn't move my phone enough, and I missed the injury, unfortunately. But yeah.
I've done that. All right. So you talked about the offensive line. We talked about the offensive line a ton here. Nate Davis is back, and you know, all that. So I won't go into that, but I do want to get your expectations for Caleb Williams' rookie year. So again, some people want to go stats. Some people want to have like a feel kind of thing about it. Some people are like, oh, we need to see this many wins. Like, what is it that you want to see out of Caleb Williams where we're sitting here in March, season's over, and you're looking back and you say, yeah, he's a guy. Like, what is it that's going to be for you that signals that?
I mean, I don't want to see him struggle too much with turnovers. I'm sure there's going to be a couple of games where he lets loose and he has some bad games. And, you know, I'm going to be hearing from all of my Packers and Vikings fan friends and everything. Oh, he's a bust. You know, I totally expect that to happen. But I mean, I think the overall trend being he's pretty reliable. I'm looking for him to pass for like 3,500 yards. I know we all want the 4,000 yard passer, but I think if he hits like 3,500 yards, I would be overjoyed at that. I mean, I won't. Like all of you, I want a winning season. I think they have the roster to have a winning season. So, I mean, I think if they get to 9 or 10 wins, he's definitely the guy. You know, I'd be overjoyed at that. So I don't really have a touchdown number in my mind per se. I mean, I think he could get to that 25 plus potentially. But they also have a pretty strong running back room. So I wouldn't be surprised if they get it down there to the red zone, and they rely on the running backs a bunch too. So, you know, I think staying healthy, having those turnovers limited to a handful of games and not being a trend, you know, throughout the year. But I think if he passes for 3,500 yards, they have a winning season, and he stays relatively healthy for most of the season. You know, and we don't have injuries lingering throughout the year, and he shows that he's durable, that kind of thing. That's what I'm looking for, because we've had, I mean, for a long time now, it seems like no Bears quarterbacks can play full seasons. If he played the full season, that would be incredible as a rookie to me, to see him go out there and stay healthy all year long. I would love to see that. And I mean, it's not all on him. They got to protect him, obviously. But being able to take those hits in the NFL and stick around and have a productive season and win some games.
I love that 3,500. I mean, that's a mark where, yeah, we all want 4,000. That's like such a magical number for Bears fans. Mm-hmm. We've never seen it, right? So, I mean, we all want it, but 3,500 yards, that would shatter the Bears rookie passing record. I mean, it would like destroy it. I mean, he'd be the greatest rookie passer of all time in Chicago history. Yeah, it's a very low bar, but you know, let's start with the low bars, and then once you get those cleared, see what happens. But yeah, I mean, it's possible that he could set all the records, but you know, just getting that, I think, would be a great start. And then you said, you know, 9-10 wins, that puts you in a playoff hunt. Stay healthy. Let's do it.
I mean, we're talking, if he can stay healthy the full schedule, I mean, he only has to average just a little over 200 yards a game to hit it. I mean, very, very, very doable, I think. So,
yeah, I'm sure there'll be a few games where they're blowing teams out and they're just handing the ball off in the second half. That'll suppress his stats a little bit. But, you know, I mean, well, hopefully. You know, I'm thinking big. I'm thinking big. I want the franchise record overall, not just the rookie record. So, all right, we're going to take a quick break. Stick with us on the other side of this. We'll talk a little defense, and we're going to get Ryan's 3 Bears for the year. So stick with us.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save. Like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
All right, Ryan, I want to talk about the defense. And again, one practice, whatever, but you've been following a lot of the camp practices. You obviously watched this defense mature over last year, get a little better as the year went on. Didn't really lose any major pieces. You know, obviously Eddie Jackson's the only swap out with Kevin Byard. And so now you have a unit that's maybe a little bit more cohesive. They've been playing together now for 3 years in this system. You've got young guys that are improving. So like, what are your expectations of this defense? And did you see anything today that kind of stuck out?
Well, first of all, one thing I did notice that I was definitely going to want to talk about was there's some cool interactions between Montez Sweat and Caleb Williams that I noticed. You know, obviously, you know, Montez has not been out there of late, and there was the issue with him hitting Caleb in practice, you know, and getting pulled from the drills and stuff. So knowing that that had happened in the past, there was at one point in practice, Montez kind of like forced Caleb out of bounds to the side, but I don't remember if he was commenting on this or not, but he came up to him and like loudly, I could hear it all the way down the field. It was like, "Hey, did you see that one?" And then they like gave each other a big high five. So they had this kind of like camaraderie moment. So if anyone was wondering if there was any heat between those two or anything, that is definitely not the case. They seem to be enjoying each other's company, at least at that moment in time. But my expectations for the defense is definitely to finish in the top 10. I mean, I think they could finish in the top five, but I think given what they're building on offense right now, and you know, they, if they had a top 10 defense and they can maintain that long term, this is a team that will win a lot of games for a long time. And as you mentioned, Jeff, they have been in the system now for a few years, so they should perform. I expect them to perform. I think, you know, we talked about a little bit ago, Austin Booker, I think if he can be that key guy opposite of Montez Sweat, I think this thing's going to be lighting up on defense all year long. He could have just a huge monster year and help him out a lot. I'm extremely confident in the secondary. The D line worries me a little bit, and the linebackers too, but the D line is a worry, but I'm very encouraged by what I've seen with Austin Booker. And so I'm going to have my eye on him a lot this year.
You know, you mentioned the D line. I know you were driving back, you know, to Iowa today. So I don't know if you caught that the Falcons made a trade for Matthew Judon for the Patriots. They sent a third round pick to him, and it came out that the Bears, by multiple insiders, said the Bears were involved in the trade talks too. Do you think there's another move coming? I mean, no, everyone talks about the Yannick Ngakoue possibility. You think something's going to happen here?
I saw the rumors that they were going to be involved in that, so I guess that doesn't surprise me. But I did not see the official report that went down. So that is interesting. I think I've always kind of felt like Yannick is just there in their back pocket, and it's going to happen in the end. And so I've been leaning that way all off season. So I would not be surprised if they brought him back, but you know, maybe given what we've seen from Booker just in a little bit of the preseason, you know, if he continues to perform, you know, this week and in the finale, maybe they feel like they don't have to do that. But it's just kind of seemed to me like a no brainer all the off season that they didn't bring Ngakoue back. So yeah, we'll see.
I'm of the mindset that we don't know who it is yet, but they're going to bring somebody in because somebody's going to get cut down. Mm-hmm. Somebody's going to like shake loose because, you know, they're making a lot of money. Another team wants to, you know, get the salary off the books because they got a young guy coming up and they want to give him the reps. And, you know, there's just something's going to happen where we don't necessarily know who that person is yet, but you know, it just happens every year where cut down days, there's some, you know, last minute moves. So that's where I've been. All right. So what we've been doing, we normally do this after every game where we ask, you know, hot bowl of porridge, cold bowl of porridge, just right. Don't know if you're familiar with the format or not, Ryan, but we've changed it up a little bit to say your predictions for the season. So for the hot bowl of porridge, I'd like to know who's the Chicago Bears player that you think is going to just exceed expectations, someone who's going to come out and just light it on fire, who's maybe people aren't talking about.
Ooh, I don't want to keep mentioning this guy, but I'm just really feeling the Austin Booker love. I think I'm going to go with Austin Booker right now.
Stock's going up.
Yeah, that, I mean, because everyone's, you know, expecting Caleb to play really well, and everyone's expecting Rome to do really well. So I can't go with one of those guys. So, I mean, right now, just based on what I've seen, I got to go with Booker.
What would a good Austin Booker rookie season look like for you?
Double digit sacks.
Okay.
And we saw it with Anderson. So, I mean, it's, you know, could happen.
Yep. That's the name that I mentioned on a podcast about a month ago. I said, they were younger guys. And I said, you guys might not know this name, but Mark Anderson.
Yeah.
That's the kind of the hope there, and hope that he develops into something that's long term as opposed to, a little bit of a flash in the pan for Mark Anderson.
Yeah.
So flip that around, and the cold bowl porridge. So this during the year is, you know, a player that didn't live up to expectations. You know, you don't want to be negative before the year, but maybe like, is there a player that people are thinking, you know, hey, they're going to have a great year and you're a little worried about, or maybe you just not buying the hype.
I think right now, God, I hate to pile on because his whole Bears career has been people piling on, but Velus in this running back experiment, I'm not sure that this is gonna work out. Well, he always seems like a super nice guy, and I love the story about the ferret that made its way out there in the last 24 hours and everything. Well, I mean, I guess the story was out there, but I didn't know anything about it until, you know, he talked about it on Hard Knocks, and then he commented on it today. I've wanted this guy to succeed. You know, it feels like they keep just trying because there's the upside. You know, dude's super fast, super athletic, and it's like, all right, now we're gonna make him into a running back. I don't know, man. I don't know that that's gonna work out. Maybe, I hope I'm wrong, but I've just kind of been out on Velus for a while. I hope he proves me wrong. I hope I'm sitting here at the end of the year, I'm like, man, they've turned this guy's career around. But I think I would have to go with him right now.
That was the big talk. I mean, when they decided to change the kickoff rules, right? Oh, now that's a great place for Velus, right? He's going to fit perfectly there. You know, it's going to really, you know, make that play matter again. And then he kind of bobbles the one kickoff he had a chance to catch in the game.
Yep.
You know, he's been moved to running back for the week. Who knows if that's going to be full time? I mean, they mentioned that it was going to be for the Bills game, but here he is today getting running back reps again. So maybe he's found a home there. I mean, in the regular season, he's looked pretty good in his really brief time as a running back. He's picked up some good yards. But yeah, I mean, Velus expecting much of him. I think that's a tough ask for Bears fans.
Yeah. I mean, when he bobbled the kick the other night, I'm like, of course he did. You know, it's like, just yet again, that was disappointing.
The tough scene. All right. So the third bowl is the Just Right Bowl. And again, projecting this out into the season is a little bit different because, you know, the player that you just expect to do well and does well or whatever, or you can answer like, who's the guy that you're most excited about on the whole team? Not expectations or anything, just the guy that you're really excited to watch.
I mean, there's some people that I think are very reliable that are going to have good years. I mean, you just look at the linebacker room to start. And I mean, I think Montez is going to have a good year. So I think those guys will all perform up to expectation. Jalen, of course, you know, now he's got a chip on his shoulder with the, you know, top 100 and all of that. By the way, if you haven't been to camp, I mean, like, Jalen is a total firecracker on the field. He's getting the crowd into it. You can hear him screaming from across the field. Just so much energy, charisma coming out of that guy. I mean, I think he's going to have a big year too, but if I'm looking at it as most excited to watch, I mean, I can't honestly say anybody but Caleb Williams. I mean, he's got, to me, I'm just jacked to watch this guy quarterback the Bears and hopefully live up to what we're all expecting. I mean, because it's been, look, my expectations were high for Fields, don't get me wrong, but it was like a totally different universe from this. Number one overall draft pick, Heisman Trophy, generational talent, everything you hear. And then you watch, I mean, a handful of plays in the game the other night, as you mentioned, Jeff. But I mean, yeah, it's preseason, but he did stuff like that pass rolling out, you know, down the sideline to Komet. It was like only a handful of guys can throw that pass. I don't care if it was preseason. He still threw the pass. It was incredible. And then like the way he rifled that third down, that third and long in there, that ball is like a fastball going in there right on the money. Just from watching that, I mean, I'm trying to keep my expectations lower. I mean, they're still high, but like more reasonable. But when I see stuff like that, it's like, how can I not be dreaming of the 4,000 yard season? You know, so I'll still say 3,500. But I am very, very excited to watch him. He's lived up to everything I had hoped so far. I love the way the guy carries himself in the media room. It's just a totally different vibe around him than some of the past quarterbacks we've had in the last few years.
It's so hard to temper the expectations, though, because obviously the talent's there, right? But then now we're seeing him and we're getting to know him as a person. Obviously the leadership part is there. You know, like you said, the players gravitate towards him. The coaches all talk about him glowingly. you know, and then we're starting to see some of the stuff in his game, the intangible things, you know, the step, you know, throwing the ball out of bounds instead of taking a sack, holding the ball away from his body so no one can come at it, you know, just the smart things he does. He's already checked and played the line, you know, in the first game. So he already has some of these, the high football IQ things down. You mentioned today, you know, drawing the defense offside and making him pay with a pass. I think that was the pass to Rome yesterday too, was he drew the defense offside and he took advantage of a free play. How many times have the Bears been burned by the free play? And very rarely have the Bears been the ones doing the burning. So maybe Caleb's the guy that can kind of, you know, flip that script a little bit there, because, you know, Aaron Rodgers has done it to Chicago for so long, right? And now, I mean, that was his guy growing up. You know, he idolized him. He kind of patterned his game after him. So maybe he'll do that for the Bears.
Yeah.
Did you guys happen to catch the Kyle Brandt on Good Morning Football little clip? I think it was Monday, and he's talking about, like, oh, my kid asked me, like, Dad, what's the greatest pass in NFL history? And he's like, okay, let me show you, son. And so they, like, had this little clip package put together, and first one he shows, like, this is Joe Montana. He's throwing to Dwight Clark in the back of the end zone in the NFC Championship game in 1980, whatever. You know, this is called the catch. This is one of the greatest throws of all time. Here's Ben Roethlisberger in the Super Bowl. You know, here's basically to win this game to San Antonio Holmes, you know, amazing pass. And then preseason, Caleb Williams against Buffalo to Cole Kmet. Those first two were good, Dad, but this last one, this is the greatest pass that I've ever seen in my life. Yes, son, it is, right? It was fantastic. And that's, I think, the kind of stuff that Bears fans are going to have. It's going to be weird, guys, because I think, what's the greatest pass that you've seen a Chicago Bears quarterback throw? Like, what's the best pass that you've seen them throw? It's probably like Cutler, like that touchdown that was caught, like, right at the back of the end zone. It's like maybe like 60 yards in the air. It's just a missile. Like, that's probably the throw that sticks out to me. I mean, but you can't go five deep. There's not like this catalog of amazing throws that Bears quarterbacks may have made in our lifetimes. And so now we're going to get treated to this highlight reel. And it's
every game.
It's not like, okay, I watched a ton of Chiefs games. You know, I'm in Des Moines, so I'm in the Chiefs market that they're on every weekend. And I, you know, I've been to four Kansas City games since Mahomes has been the quarterback down in Kansas City. I've watched a ton of Mahomes, and he'll make 2, 3, 4 throws a game where I'll look at those and I'll say, I've never seen a Chicago Bears quarterback do that. I'm not gonna get to say that anymore, because it's gonna happen. Like, he has that ability. I'm not making the comparison to Mahomes yet or anything like that, but like, that's the arm talent that we're talking about, and he's gonna start putting those on film and start stacking those up. And Bear fans are quickly gonna forget about like what that was like to never see a quarterback be able to throw, you know, these impressive passes. So it's the dawn of a very exciting time, and I'm very excited to be covering it.
Yeah. Well said. I was thinking in my mind, what are the most memorable throws? And it's like, one of them that stands out to me is that Grossman throw to Berrien in the NFC title game. I think that was more of a phenomenal catch though, wasn't it?
Probably.
I just remember the snow and him like falling to the ground. It was, you know, they were winning the game in a blowout. That one's pretty memorable. Yeah, a few Cutler ones here and there, but
you got to go back to Bronco Nagurski with the jump pass in the 1930.
There's the one with McMahon up in Minnesota during 85 when like Walter makes the key block, and then they're springing the comeback. You know, that's
it'd be a good project, but it'd also be a sad project.
Yeah,
so I'm not sure that I want to be the one to compile it. Well, any final thoughts about your day at camp? Prediction for the season? Anything like that you'd like to share before we get out of here?
I am sticking with 10-7. I think, I'm loading a lot of the wins up early. I think the back half of the schedule is very difficult. Now, maybe if they get rolling early, they'll win some of them that I don't foresee and have an even better record. But I think I tell all my friends 10-7, and some of them nod and they're like, okay. And some of them are like, whoa, what are you talking about? 10 wins. And I got to remind them, they won 7 games last year and they got an improved team. You know, they had 3 games they should have won last year. I think 10 wins is very reasonable. I mean, I keep telling people 10-7, one of the final wild card spots. I think that's probably, if they do that, I would be overjoyed. You know, they start this, what we think is going to be multiple years of making the playoffs almost every year. And just, you know, getting in this year, maybe they can make some noise. Give them one more off season to like really, really solidify both lines. And I think they should be a contender next year if they have a 10-7 season this year and they make some more tweaks to the team. So I think this is the year where they launch what we're all thinking is going to happen in the years ahead. I mean, maybe that's too rosy for some people, but I think the schedule just really lines up well to a good start. And then 10 wins, I think, is very doable given the schedule, at least how it looks now. You know, we never know. Some of these teams, maybe they end up better than we think they're going to be, and then it's a more difficult schedule. But I mean, I think 10-7 is where I'm at right now.
It's so hard, like I said, it's so hard to temper the expectations because, like you said, they are coming off a pretty good season. They are coming off a really good off season. They are coming off getting, you know, Caleb and Rome Odunze and, you know, Montez Sweat here for a full year. So it's hard to not put those expectations on this team, but I think it's warranted. I mean, it's not just Bears fans doing it. It's from a national perspective. A lot of national pundits are saying, yeah, this team should be in the playoffs. They should, you know, be around that 10-win mark. They should be pushing for a wild card spot, if not the division here. So let's dream big. Why not?
Why not? Expectations are there. I mean, even the betting market is reflecting that they expect the Bears to make the playoffs. You just got to embrace it. Like, you know, it's not an overconfidence thing where you're walking in being like, this team's going to go 15-2 and have the number one. No one's saying that, but this is going to be a fun team. You know, it happens every year. There's teams that sort of make that jump, and why not Chicago? It seems to be on that path. So, well, Ryan, well, thank you, you know, for going to practice, for being willing to make that drive with a couple kids back to home and hop on with us and talk about your experience in practice, and welcome to the team. And we're looking forward to hearing more from you this year.
Yeah. I think I'm going to be on one of the post shows for Hard Knocks here in a couple of weeks. So looking forward to that. Going to do some post shows during the season as well. And of course the writing as well. So yeah, I mean, I'm overjoyed to be part of this team. Got a lot of talent, and it's going to be a fun year. So appreciate you guys hooking me up with the tickets to go and inviting me on the show tonight. It's been a blast.
Nice.
Well, for you guys that are listening, we will be back. Assuming that there is practice, we will be back again tomorrow night because Lester is going to the joint practice. So we will talk. We'll talk there, and we'll have a guest, Brendan Chagrou, as again, if they have the practice. If not, you know, we're not gonna hang out again. But hopefully, they have the joint practice because that's going to be a lot of fun. Until next time, though, bear down.
American Giant makes great clothing, t-shirts, jeans, and more right here in the U.S., creating jobs in towns and cities across the country. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.